by the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. He's been my bread when I was hungry. He's been my company keeper. Every time I get a little lonely, by the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. Walk with me, Lord, please walk with me.
As we gather this morning, I invite you to take a moment to take in a deep breath and just to find yourself exactly where you are. Close your eyes if you like. And at this time, I invite you to gather together in prayer of heart and spirit from all the many places we find ourselves. An excerpt from Pandemic by Lynn Unger. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out with your hands. Reach out with your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. God, we come before you this morning feeling so many different things. But we sing today about the ways that you walk alongside us. God, even when we are in the darkest valleys, may you come near. May you increase our awareness of your nearness here with us, and may we become more aware as well of the ways that we accompany others. God, please lead all of our efforts. Please guide us. We ask this in your loving name. Amen.
Welcome again to online worship here at the table. Whether this has been a place that you have called your church home for some time or you're tuning in for the very, very first time, we are grateful to be in this together with you. We want to take a moment to invite you to take a next step here at the table. You'll find more information on our website, thetableumc.org, and we encourage you to text the word online to 916-256-2717. Texting online to that number will help us to share more some of the creative ways that we're coming together while we're physically separated from one another to reach in love to our neighbors, to care for one another in our community, and to simply find and discern creative ways to embody the love of God in this moment of time. As I shared earlier, you'll find resources on our website for worship this morning, resources for a godly play story with children. You'll also find there information about praying together. We're going to do that through color. And so we hope you'll have with you, if you do have access to colored pencils or markers or crayons, we'll respond to Pastor Linda's message with prayer through color later in worship. We encourage you to grab those if you have the capacity to do that. You'll also find on our website a video that we created earlier this week with Jan Martinez to help us think about ways that we might create sacred space in our homes. Also, you'll find there a registration form for a 6-week series that Pastor Linda and I will be leading together starting on Tuesday, March 31st. We call that series Growing in Faith, and it's a way to learn, to connect with others, and to learn about how we share in life together here at the table. So we hope, if that's something you're interested in, that you might go now to our website, thetableumc.org, and sign up to join us in that. We're going to continue to move in worship now with Hannah and our music team leading us in a song called Breathe by La Portia Renee.
This morning is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hands to bless. Ills have no weight, 'tis lose their bitterness. Where is thy sting, death? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, Lord, abide with me.
Hi, this is Linda, and I'm preaching from home. You can see behind me one of the paintings in our home. It was done by my husband's dad, Arne Hirsu, I think back in 1960. So that's behind me, and Sophia is before me, but really all of you are before me. So I'm going to preach a sermon. Here we go. I want to tell you about a favorite movie that I have. It was never really very popular, but I thought it was fabulous nevertheless. And maybe some of you have heard of it. It came out all the way back in 2000. And it was called Song Catcher. It was directed by a woman named Maggie Greenwald, and it is loosely based on the life of another woman named Olive Day Campbell. And her story is that she was a doctor of music in the early 1900s, and she left academic life to live and travel to the Appalachian Mountains, and there she learns of the music. So the movie is all about that. Today, we call people like her ethnomusicologists. And back then, they were called ballad catchers, or that beautiful phrase, song catchers. While much acclaim has been given to all the men who published their work, most of the original song catchers were women. And you'll see their names noted in small letters under the capital men's name in many of the old books. In the film, what soon shocks the main character, who is a very sophisticated academic musicologist, is that the songs that she is hearing in Appalachia are actually not new to her ear. They are singing songs of their distant ancestors who came here from England and Scotland and Ireland and Wales, songs that have lived in these remote mountains and been caught by generation after generation Appalachia ever since the beginning of when they came here. So over time, these song catchers added their own music dialect to the lyrics. So instead of an Irish accent, it's a hill person accent. But the tunes, they all survived. And they connect then those song catchers over centuries and centuries of time and distance. So I'm so grateful to those song catchers who have treasured and saved music, which has really filled my life in so many ways. During this vulnerable time of this coronavirus pandemic, whatever you want to call it, I am so thankful for those who are keeping music alive and growing. I wonder, have you heard any music that is keeping you alive and growing? We would love for you to share that in the comments, and I'm going to ask a few more questions as I go along during this message, and we invite you to either write them in your own journals or chime in online, and Chloe is watching over that for all of us. So I don't know about you, but have you heard some of the funny ones, not just the serious ones like my Corona? And that's instead of my Sharona, in case you don't know, just to date myself. And then there's Home instead of Vogue. Oh, that is really good. It's by Chris Mann. You can go on YouTube for that. But seriously, all of those folks, like our own music team this morning, they are trying their best to record where they are from their homes. And then they're mixing a lot of it online, and we are getting beautiful results. There's even a beautiful version of We Are Not Alone by a Mennonite choir. I would Google that too. See, I believe song catchers are invaluable every day, but especially right now. Maybe you've noticed there are some songs that you listen to or that you go to that soothe you, some that unify all of us, some that rally us into action, some that just provide beautiful comfort, like Yo-Yo Ma on the cello. These songs are on our playlists, and they are also, believe it or not, in our Bibles. It's true. And in our Bibles, they're called the Psalms. You spell that P-S-A-L-M-S. And this morning, we heard one of the most familiar ones, Psalm 23. Just so you know, the English word psalm is derived from the Greek word psalmos, which in turn was used to translate the Hebrew word mizmor, which literally means mizmor, song. So in the most basic sense, a psalm is a biblical song or a poem. The Psalms, and especially Psalm 23, speak powerfully to and for God's people in troubled times. And while we have most often experienced it, at least Matt and I have, at funerals, it's a text actually for followers of Jesus in all of our days. And yet, for all its familiarity, there are some nuances to the psalm that we might miss. So I thought I would slow down a little bit this morning and invite you to do the same, in hopes that we too could find some comfort for our faith in this ancient text passed to us by the song catchers who have sung the community to prayer throughout the generations. Most of the time, when we read the Bible, we prefer the modern translations at the table of the NRSV. But because so many memorized this Psalm 23 long ago and it was passed to them verbally, it is the King James Version that they hear in their own minds or are able to recite. I learned this week in my own kitchen table. One person shared that they had not recited it in over 20 years. But this week They were able to recite it completely by memory, straight out of the King James translation. There's a beauty to the Old English language. In verse 4, for example, today we would say, "You are with me." But the King James Version reads, "Thou art with me." See, even how I say it changes. Thou art with me. Maybe we like this version because it just plain sounds more beautiful. Regardless, though, of whether you hear "thou art" or "you are," excuse me, it's true. It's really true. God is with us. We are not alone. That's the message, actually, of the whole gospel. God is with us, and Jesus himself was called Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. It's recorded even in the dying words of the founder of the Methodist movement. His name was John Wesley, and we have recorded that he said, as he lay in his dying bed, "The best of all is God is with us." We say, God moved into the neighborhood. Moving on, and kind of around that Psalm 23, the first three verses of the psalm, God is spoken of in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores my soul. But with the "thou," the third person shifts to the second. "For thou art with me, thy rod, thou preparest a table." Instead of talking about God, then, the psalmist begins to talk to God, right to God. Instead of an academic God in our heads, God moves right down into our hearts. A conversation, then, when it moves into our heart, becomes a relationship. And that relationship is how we receive comfort from God. Not just comfort, encouragement too. For while the Lord as our shepherd is our shepherd, it also says, "I shall not want." I feel like that's encouragement. More accurately, the translation is, "I shall lack no good thing," or "I shall lack nothing," because we have all we need. Why? Not because we physically have things, right? But because the Lord is our shepherd, that is the way we find our understanding of what really matters. Shepherds lead us. Shepherds guide us. They make sure we are safe, right? And they make sure we have food and water and a community, and we go home at night and rest. Suddenly finding ourselves in our homes 24/7, many of us have had time to reflect, actually, on what we really need. So here's a question for you. What are some of the things you have noticed this week that have ended up mattering the most for you? When it comes down to it, have you noticed that we have ourselves, our loves, each other, and God? I've noticed that in knitting. I have knitting. I think that is what the psalmist noticed with these lines in verse 3. "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths for his name's sake." Which leads us right into the next part of the song. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's the King James Version translation, which I prefer. It's the valley of our deepest troubles and our fears. The place where we think no one actually will ever come with us. I've always appreciated that the shepherd does not lead us away from this place. Instead, we walk right through it. We face it, but it holds no power over us because we are in the presence of the Lord. The last part of that verse is, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The shadow of death is not changed there, but rather we are changed, us, when we receive the gift of God's abiding presence. Any instance when one person is truly present to another requires a foundation of authenticity. In the case of Psalm 23, the darkness is acknowledged and it's not minimized. And anything less, that would be false. In other words, rather than being an act of healing, it would be like God was pretending. And that's not how God behaves. It would be like an encouraging slap on the back by a person who can't actually look you in the eye. It would be like a joke in the face of your deep, like, tears. In Psalm 23, we get the sense that the shepherd has seen it all. The shepherd has walked that lonesome valley of the shadow of death, but to paraphrase Psalm 139, even the shadow of death is as light to him. So, another question. How have others been a comfort to you in the shadow of this pandemic? How have you also done your most creative best to be a comfort? In this time in which we cannot be physically present with one another, I think this is especially meaningful. It is in part why we are so grateful, even though we always are, but right now we really are grateful for our kitchen tables and all of our kitchen table leaders. Kitchen tables are our small groups here at the table. We have them all around Sacramento, in Davis, in Carmichael, in Elk Grove, and actually now all of them are meeting online. We gather every week and we ask, how is it with your soul? How are you doing good? How have you maybe done harm or tried to do no harm? And how are you staying in love with God? In order to join one of our kitchen tables, a person needs to go through Growing in Faith, which is a 6-week class that Matt and I teach using a book that the two of us wrote together. For the first time, we are going to offer this online on Tuesday evenings. We're going to start that March 31st, right? And we're going to go for 6 weeks. You can find more information about that on our website, but we encourage you, if you are new and are finding us for the very first time, or you have been waiting for just the right time, for you to join Growing in Faith, to find that and to sign up. We'll mail the books to you. You can learn a lot on our website about all the details. Our kitchen tables are the heartbeat of our community. The image of God's table is central to our way of life together. As we gather around those tables and as we break bread together, and that too is included in Psalm 23, where it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. There is abundance even in the presence of deprivation. Their word for that in the Bible is enemies. It would seem that the enemies have denied the psalmist a place at God's table, as well as the hospitality that was expected, actually, of all of God's people, who at the time of this writing and hearing existed in a hot desert climate. In the face of that exclusion, in this psalm, God responds with abundance for all. Finally, moving from the valley of the shadow of death through green pastures to the abundant table comes reassurance and promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. I just want to say, human experience shows that goodness and mercy follow no people all the days of their lives. Hello, pandemic, right? Right, we know this. There is always a mixture of good and evil that follow us. To say otherwise, it's almost like saying, and they lived happily ever after, and believing it. So what can this possibly mean? I think it's helpful to realize that the Hebrew word for follow, right? Follow me all the days of my life. Follow may also be translated as pursue. Oh, that changes the picture a little bit, doesn't it? Holding that meaning, if it's pursue, God's goodness and mercy will pursue us or chase after us our whole life long. I can get behind that. That seems real to me. In other words, in the midst of diversity of our human existence, the good and the difficult, God keeps God's promise of being with all of us. So how today might you set yourself up to experience that promise? Think about that for a minute. That's kind of a harder question. How might we encounter and set ourselves up for God's promise to enter our lives today? Listen to how part of another song catcher of the ages, his name is Isaac Watts, rendered Psalm 23. He wrote this back in 1719 about his own life. When through the shades of death I walk, your presence is my stay. One word of your supporting breath drives all my fears away. Your hand in sight of all my foes does still my table spread. I love that. My cup with blessings overflows. Your oil anoints my head. We want to remind you, with all of the song catchers through the ages, that God is still with us during this very, very difficult time. Like the psalmist shared the songs of their day, as the people of Appalachia continue the songs of their ancestors in their own dialects, may we do the same. This week in our kitchen tables, we had paper and colors with us, and we listened to the 23rd Psalm. And in a little bit, we're going to invite you to do the same. To use paper and colors, or maybe your kids color on iPads even, I don't know. Matt will share some of the art during that time that folks have been sending into us from their kitchen tables. And while we do that, and as I close, I just want you to know I'm hearing, I'm hearing part of the psalm like this. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of a viral pandemic, we will fear no evil, for our church and our kitchen table mates are together with us, even when we are apart. Our weekly question of how is it with your soul? And the way we answer it, of how in the midst of this, are you doing good? How are you doing harm? And how are you still staying in love with God? Are a comfort to us. And our cups with that overflow. So let's all take a deep breath. That's what I need to do right now. And consider, how is God with you? With all of us right now. And Matt's going to take us into prayer.
I invite us into a spirit of prayer together. God, may your unfolding grace tune our lives that we might see around us and within us your love alive and moving in the world. Help us to move through the chaotic and fearfulness of these very days, that we might find ourselves in this very moment feeling ever more deeply connected to you and to our neighbors near and far. May your unfolding grace lead us through these days. May we trust in your love for us and your love for the whole world. Amen. We're going to continue in a spirit of prayer by moving into a song that our music team has prepared for us. This is a song that comes to us from Bobby McFerrin. It's our music team's version of the 23rd Psalm, inspired by Bobby McFerrin's version of this that he wrote for his own mother. And so as that music begins to play, we want to invite you into a time of prayer to just let that music wash over you. This is also a moment in which we'll invite you to respond if you feel comfortable or led with colors, if you happen to have those colored pencils or crayons or paints that we talked about earlier with you. We invite you to just respond in whatever way feels alive and true to you, whether that's abstract or whether it's writing down words. There's not a right way to do this, But our hope is that this is a time of prayer in which through the music and through our responding creatively, we might tune our lives a little bit more deeply to the love of God that is moving within us and around us. So as the song unfolds, we're also going to share some of the ways in our kitchen tables. They were invited this week to respond to Psalm 23 with colored pencils and with crayons and with markers. And so a number of those kitchen table leaders shared those with us. And I'm going to do my best to try to put those up as well. So this will be an experiential prayer with music and with the images on the screen, if those work, and then also with whatever you create in your own home. So let us continue to move in worship and in prayer together in this way.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows, beside the still waters she will lead. She restores my soul. She rights my wrongs. She leads me in a path of good things and fills my heart with songs. Even though I walk through a dark and dreary, there is nothing that can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me. I'm in her hand. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life. To our mother and daughter and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are grateful for the gift of this time together, for the music that we've shared, for whatever has been moving and stirring within you during this time of prayer. And we'll continue to respond to God in creative ways as we move out into the world. We know that one of the ways that we're called to respond to God is also through acts of generosity. And so we realize that in this moment, many in our community are working overload in hospitals, trying to just get ready and to brace our community for what may be ahead. We know that others of us are not working and we're at home and we're living in the anxiety and fear about what our financial future means. And so we realize the breadth of places that we're all in, and we believe that God still calls us to respond generously. And that will look differently for each of us. But we want to encourage you to go online on our website website on the table, umc.org, and you can make an online gift there, a one-time gift or a recurring gift to help fund the movement of these ministries. We also are thrilled that because in 2019, we were able to finish the year in the positive, and so we set aside a portion of those funds, our administrative board did, in something that we call our Reaching in Love Fund. And so in just these last days and trying to figure out how we creatively embody the love of God, our administrative board has decided that we're going to dedicate immediately $10,000 to reach in love to our neighbors here in Sacramento by offering food aid. So we've begun conversations with local chefs, and we're reaching out to local farmers to talk about ways that those might be gifts that are either matched or simply given to ensure that those in our community who need food right away and in the weeks and months ahead will have access to that. And so we as a community here at the table are gonna make that gift of $10,000, and we're gonna work out the details of that in the coming days. And if you want to join with us, we're going to discern what that looks like over these coming days. And just stay tuned on our social media and on our website as we continue to find creative ways to reach in love. And we encourage you at this moment to go to our website, thetableumc.org, and make a gift, a one-time gift if you're able to do that, or a recurring gift if that's a possibility for you in these moments. And we're going to go out this morning in worship with a song that reminds us of our connection. It's called Are We Not One? So I invite us to join our voices as you feel led, and to continue to move and to close in worship with song together.
One, oh Lord, are we not yours?
we not one, O Lord?